are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Well, it's always hard when you're at 15 and people you think are in your mix, their agents are saying they're not going to be there. So it's all a game. The agents and the teams play. It's hard. It's very difficult to get guys in, but I've been happy with what we got in. I've been saying this for my whole career, and I tried when I was in New Jersey with the Nets to do regional workouts. We invited a lot of teams, and I thought that'd be a good way to go with, say, four regions where everybody comes and the teams, and you don't have to bring people in. You don't have to have kids travel all the time, the expense. But the agents run the workouts. That's the bottom line. And this is my fifth team. I don't know if that's good or bad, but this is my fifth team that I have not seen that secret workout yet that tells you that this kid's going to be a phenomenal NBA player. So these teams at all, you know, I don't know if I haven't been to all 30 that they have that secret workout. But everybody wants to have their own workouts, and the agents control it, and the kids do so many of them, and they're exhausted. They're dead. We had a kid here today that was – it was his 19th workout. So I think the workouts are broken, but I've been saying that since I've been in the league.
Ed Stefanski doing some pre-draft media availability today at the Palace of Auburn Hills practice facilities. What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, June the 17th, and it is officially draft week here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in the Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower just like you guys for my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today we're going to run down the big NBA news over the weekend. I got some thoughts on Anthony Davis being traded to the Lakers. We'll run down the ramifications there. Also pass along who was at the Palace today for draft workouts on Monday. And we're going to talk about one of those guys in depth a little bit, Brandon Clark, one of the most interesting prospects in the draft. One of those polarizing guys who you could see going very high, like maybe five or six, or maybe even could do a little bit of a free fall all the way down to the Pistons at 15. There's a few guys like this, and I think in some ways it's a little bit indicative of the weak draft, that no one really believes in these guys, or maybe that they have some fatal flaws in their games that in other years might be disqualifiers, but in this year you like the good things about them so much that maybe you do reach for them a little bit at the mid or bottom of those single-digit numbers. But we're also going to go through Sam Vecenie of The Athletic's final big board, give out his final tiers, which is something I'm interested in as well. Always like reading those Athletic articles word for word, so to speak. And by the way, friend of the show, Bill Shea of Crane's Detroit Business has joined The Athletic. So he's another reporter that we like, and obviously, like I said, friend of the show and buddy of mine, and he's going to The Athletic to write about some business and media stuff that they're going to kind of open a new wing of The Athletic there as we do our kind of semi-monthly plug to go ahead and subscribe to The Athletic and pay a little money for good journalism. But this, give me a follow on Twitter, speaking of good journalism, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. And the Locked On Mock Draft is underway, continues with the Celtics making more trades with all their picks. Hear what the guys came up with there. The local experts in every draft room, Jeremy Wu of SI.com with the player breakdowns. You heard him on this show last week. Great draft expert there. Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy Basketball with the fantasy breakdowns. All of it on Locked On NBA. But as we mentioned, Saturday, while your boy was in Lansing, East Lansing, covering some high school sports finals. Fun times, by the way. Kind of took me back to my high school sports coverage days in Port Huron in Springfield, Missouri. Always love seeing the kids get their state titles. It's pretty cool. You know, like it's going to be something they'll remember forever with their buddies. And it's the other part is, you know, really quality sports. And if you listen to the show, you probably know I'm from Royal Oak. And I got to cover the Royal Oak Shrine girls soccer team win a state title in Division IV. It doesn't happen a lot that a Royal Oak team wins state titles. I think five total in Shrine history. I didn't go to Shrine. I went to the public school, Royal Oak Kimball. But congrats to the Shrine Knights there. And my boy Ben Kerfoot, who's the athletic director, a friend of mine as well. And yeah, so good for them. I think Kimball, I think they've only won like one maybe state championship. I'm probably wrong about that. But Frank Clouser used to have some good baseball teams in the early 70s, and they went to three state titles in a row, three final games, and won one of them. So anyway, that's here at Royal Oak Sports History. Maybe we'll do a segment on Royal Oak Sports History every day going forward. Just kidding there. But anyway, during that, less importantly than the high school sports championships, was Anthony Davis being traded from the New Orleans Pelicans to the Los Angeles Lakers. Looks like it was heading in this direction. Really, the collapse of the Boston Celtics this year kind of, I would say, cemented this possibility of the Celtics not being able to really, like, not kind of willing to either throw in Tatum or him not even being as valuable as one thought. Boston's not going to be one of these teams that gets throws in all these picks and assets unnecessarily, one might argue, which the Lakers were kind of more desperate to do. And then the Knicks, with Kevin Durant getting hurt and looking like he's going to miss all of next season, that puts a big crimp into their plans, because even if they get Durant, then Anthony Davis is going to be a free agent after next year. And if he, you know, doesn't commit long term, which why would he? You're going to bring Anthony Davis onto this year's Knicks team, give up a bunch of assets for that, with the chance that he's going to walk after a disastrous season in New York. So it really didn't make any sense for the Knicks to be in it. Boston wasn't going to give you what you wanted. They probably have a better, outlook on Jason Tatum's next few years than maybe the unbiased observer around the league would at this point. And then, you know, you got guys that they probably want to hold on to Jaylen Brown, and then you're talking about no good centerpiece of the deal. The Celtics didn't have a great pick in this year's draft. So really nothing there unless you could get Tatum and a bunch of draft capital. And like I said, Danny Ainge, with the young team losing Kyrie and being out on Anthony Davis, they're building. I mean, they're going to be good next year, no doubt, but they are positioned well to be a good team a couple few years down the road. They don't want to give up those draft picks right now. So ended up being Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart, the number four pick this year, a couple of unprotected picks down the road, and a couple of pick swaps in the first round down the road as well, including that 2022 draft, which we've talked about as the possible double draft, with the Lakers having a chance of, or the Pelicans having a chance of getting the Lakers' top pick there. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart. A lot of people really like Lonzo Ball as a player. I'm not one of them. I don't think that Lonzo Ball is going to be an all-star. I don't, you know, maybe gets one of them down the road at some point, but I don't think that he's going to be a franchise-changing guy. I'm looking at this Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart trio and thinking there's not a lot there that the Lakers are going to really regret giving up. I would think that Kuzma would be the, and Kyle Kuzma is not a great player, but he's from Flint, by the way, so maybe we're a little bit biased, but I think he's the best of those four, of the four group right now, in terms of what he can offer this year, which makes him more valuable to the Lakers, obviously, as they're going to try to compete for a championship this season with Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Now, that being said, maybe Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram have a little bit more upside than Kyle Kuzma, but I don't know. I still think that Kyle Kuzma 3 years from now is probably the best player out of this group of four. Josh Hart's going to always be a solid bench contributor, which is nothing wrong with that, especially when he's young. But as far as difference makers, sure, Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, both a little bit of a roll of the dice and could be pretty good players. But the fact that the Lakers didn't have to include Kyle Kuzma into this deal is a big thing for them, I believe, as much as you want to poo-poo Kuz. But with all the picks going forward, especially this year, everyone talks about it being a three-player draft. You got number four, Darius Garland, whatever you want to do with it. Not that exciting to me. And the Pelicans, with all the future picks, you've kind of placed your bet against the health and longevity of LeBron James, who in some of these years that we're talking about, some of these picks and pick swaps, you know, he's in his late 30s, maybe even, I think, 40 years old on the last one. So he's probably maybe not even playing, certainly moved on to a different stage of his career at that point. But with me and LeBron James, I know we had just had his first non-playoff season in forever, non-NBA finals season in forever. But to me, that's still a bad bet. I'm not betting against LeBron James. So I don't feel like all these picks that everyone's talking about, and it is a lot of picks, it is a decent haul, and it probably is the best that New Orleans had in terms of offers, but I'm not going crazy about all these picks like everybody else is. I think the Los Angeles Lakers are going to be very good for many years with Anthony Davis as the best player on that team. They're going to find some other players to put around them for a couple years. They'll put some other players around them for a couple years. They'll draft well and find someone. They'll take some nice contracts. They'll have draft capital over these next couple of years before these new picks come in to get a couple of guys. And it's also a bet against the organization of the Lakers under Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka. And I think that's a decent bet. These guys have shown themselves to be pretty incompetent through their first, you know, stretch lately. And we'll see. You know, we're going to see what Anthony Davis looks like. And again, for this trade, these next couple of years don't matter as much. But down the road, they're kind of betting against the Lakers. And that could be a good bet. We will see. This is one of those things that we won't know exactly what it looks like several years from now. But to me, this is good for the Lakers. They got their best player. And like I said, they're going to compete for a title this year and next year and probably going forward a little bit more than that. And I don't love any of those players that they gave up. I don't love Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram. And Josh Hart's going to be good, but there is a good player, but there's nothing special about him. And the picks, I just believe that LeBron James and Anthony Davis are going to find a way for this team to be picking in the 20s and you know, a solid playoff team at worst over these next several years. And many years is what this draft is going to be. Now, keep in mind, and I joked about it saying it's really important. It's obviously not really important, but it's something that the Pistons need to keep in mind. This is a bad thing for the Pistons, this deal, because they own the 2021 second-round pick of the Los Angeles Lakers. So not this year, but the following two summers from now. So the year that's not this coming year, but the year after that is the one that matters in terms of how the Lakers do for the Pistons, because it looks like, you know, like I said, for the next couple years, the Lakers will be picking in the 20s, so that turns that second-round pick that the Pistons have from the Reggie Bullock deal, that's going to be in the 50s. So overall, this hurts the draft capital for the Pistons, and not a good deal for them, but obviously not a huge deal either way because it's a second-round pick, and it's not going to be that much of a difference anyway. But let's take a break here. We're going to come back, talk Pistons workouts. You heard from Matt Stefanski at the top of the show at the Palace of Auburn Hills. I have some thoughts on what he said, and that'll be up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm also going to talk about Brandon Clark, so all sorts of good stuff coming up here. And when you get in your car, remember to go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
And when you are driving to work or from work or around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. We will be right there with you for the drive. Can you imagine a better way to spend in your car than to spend it here with me on the Locked On Pistons podcast? I can't imagine one. But anyway, a little bit later, we're going to talk about Sam Vecenie's latest and last 8.0 big board with The Athletic. We love Sam's work, and we'll pass that along. But the Pistons, before Ed Stefanski talked on Monday afternoon, late Monday morning, they had some draft workouts at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Some big names came in. Goga Batadze of Georgia, Brandon Clark of Gonzaga, and Keldon Johnson of Kentucky, all believed to be mid to late first round candidates. Clark maybe mid to early first round candidate, but the other two mid to late. So yeah, some first round potential picks coming in for the Pistons. Nice little change of pace there. Also coming in for a workout is Sagaba Kanate of West Virginia and Kendari Weatherspoon of Mississippi State. Kendari, by the way, coming to Detroit for the second time in this workout process. Those guys are top 100 players in the ESPN big boards, and also a couple guys outside of the top 100, Barry Brown Jr. of Kansas State and Cavell Bigby Williams of LSU. The Pistons have now brought 72 players in, including Kendari twice. And keep in mind, the Pistons pick at number 15 and 45 in the draft. Of those 72 players that have come in, only 32 are rated in ESPN's top 100 big board. Only 9 of the 72 players are rated on the big board for ESPN at 45 or above. And only 4 are in the top 21 on their list. So 72 players, 4 of them are in the top 21, the Pistons pick at 15. Only 2 of the players brought in were rated at number 15 or above. So they're certainly not bringing in players that are above their pay grade, kind of slumming it a little bit still. Again, Monday is half of those guys that are in that top 21. It was a good day of solid prospects coming to the Palace, so a little bit of an improvement there, but still, overall, this has been a lacking process for the Detroit Pistons. 40 of those 72 players outside of the top 100, so basically players who are not draftable in that in there. Now, maybe they like one of these 40 guys more than the experts do, and they find a way to get him at 45 or somewhere in the top 60 if they trade up and maybe get another second-round pick or something like that. But along those lines, we had Easy Ed Stefanski, a little bit of soundbite for him earlier, says, and you know, he's probably right. He's a Philly guy. He is a little bit of a straight shooter, and that way we've been giving the front office a little bit of needling so far this offseason, as we kind of predict that it's going to be a little bit of a boring offseason for the Pistons for the second straight year, a front office that really hasn't done anything to show that they are worthy of these positions and worthy of Pistons fans believing that this team's in some sort of correct direction in terms of becoming a championship team, whether in the medium term or long term, whatever the strategy would be organizationally. So with Ed Stefanski, he said, and like I said, kind of recapping his comments from earlier, the agents control all these workout destinations. I think that it's telling that Detroit is a team, not only because of their draft position at 15, you have the top players that are hope that they are lottery picks that don't want to work out for teams at 15 because then maybe that shows a little weakness or maybe that hurts the stock of these players. But in addition to that, I think that there are a lot of prospects that probably look at the Detroit Pistons situation and say, yeah, we don't really want our guy going there anyway. So certainly you'd rather have him be 15 than 19 or something like that because of the money. But that's, I just don't think the Pistons are a destination for draft picks. And I think that we knew that about free agents. We've always kind of known that about Detroit as a free agent destination. But I think it's telling about where this franchise is. It's telling about how this front office is perceived, how ownership is perceived, how the direction of this franchise over the past 10 years is perceived, that agents won't even bring in players to Detroit to get checked out on draft processes, even at number 15, even at the possibility of the Pistons wanting to trade up and get certain guys. But let's talk a little bit about Brandon. But so, I kind of agree with Ed Stefanski that it's too bad that the agents control this process so much, but it's also telling that the agents don't want their players coming to Detroit. And Ed Stefanski says the system is broken and would like to see it switch around a little bit. Guys like Kendari Weatherspoon coming to Detroit twice. Ed mentioned that one of the players was there for his 19th workout. He's exhausted. And there's no world where that's a proper way of doing this year after year after year. But let's talk about Brandon Clark, one of the guys who was here on Monday from Gonzaga, a forward, a guy that I've been very high on throughout the draft process. He caught my eye early in the college basketball season, his first year of Gonzaga. He transferred from San Jose State, where he played his first couple of seasons. A backup big for the Pistons. He would become a backup big for the Pistons right away. A great defender. For the record, I think the Pistons should scoop him up in a second if he's available at 15. I know he's not the wing that the team needs to maybe fill some holes for next year's team as adequately as possible. But and there's some worlds where he's a little bit of a duplication with Thon Maker in terms of some of the pluses and some of the minuses of his skill set and maybe a little bit of a short-term logjam there. However, I'm of the opinion that Thon Maker is not good enough of a prospect and player and not as solidly as part of the Pistons' long-term plans that you need to change your draft approach this year and or going forward because of what Thon has for this team right now and what he brings to the table in terms of potential. I think a world exists where he's not back with the Pistons after next summer, so you shouldn't not draft a certain guy because Thon Maker's on your roster right now. And by the way, Easy Ed also said that no Thon Maker and no Luke Kennard at Summer League this year in their third years. So all the three second-year guys but no third-year guys going to be playing, if they're healthy, with the Summer League roster in Vegas. So you're talking about Sofia Mikhailiuk, Kyrie Thomas and Bruce Brown, and Ed also said the first-round pick this year, and presumably the second-round pick too. So those guys would be kind of the nucleus of your Summer League roster. Again, Luke Kennard did not play last year. He was scheduled to play because of an injury he suffered in summer camp practices. Unfortunate, because that would have maybe given him a chance to play a little point guard in a more relaxed setting, kind of a practice type of setting. And it's a missed opportunity because, as we've been screaming about on this podcast for a year now, you have Svi Mykhailiuk, you have Luke Kennard, you have Bruce Brown, you have Kyrie Thomas. These are all guys that are possibilities to play a little point guard in the NBA, but the Pistons, with their full steam ahead, win every game in the regular season at all costs mentality, which is a good thing in some ways, they're sacrificing chances for those guys to play point guard, maybe make some mistakes, maybe have a little bit of a long leash, and see what you have. See what you have, right? You got these guys on your roster. They all have skills that could possibly be projectable in terms of a backup point guard or certain lineups where they're playing point guard, but not enough creativity from this organization or coaching staff to even see if this is a possibility. So it's just something that's just kind of hanging out there. And as players and as fans, we just kind of watch it and say, ah, man, it could be, but we'll never know, right? So Stefanski also very blunt about the fact that the Pistons only have $9 million in cap room. The expectations have been laid out for another very boring summer in Detroit. Of course, he's right as it stands right now. But and he did mention again that Tom Gores would be willing to go into the luxury tax for the type of trade that would make the Pistons into the top four, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, obviously a Drew Holiday, Mike Conley type of deal. Drew Holiday being someone that the Pistons probably don't have the assets to acquire because he's under a pretty good contract. Mike Conley being someone the Pistons probably could acquire, given the fact that he's a little bit more of a negative asset than Holiday because of his huge contract. But, you know, certainly the Pistons could flavor up some of their bad contracts with some of their good assets and possibly make a deal for Mike Conley going forward. But Maron Brandon Clark, a great worker on defense, not a shooter right now, but it's projectable with the strides he's made, especially from the free throw line, even a little bit from three-point land at Gonzaga as well. 22 and a half years old right now. Developed the free throws, developed the three-point shot a little bit, and the touch has scouts believing that he could be something of an adequate three-point shooter down the line, certainly not as a rookie. But some of the things that stand out, the same amount of block shots than missed shots in his 1 year at Gonzaga, which is ridiculous. 117 block shots, 117 missed shots. There would basically not be a spot in the draft where I would ridicule a team for taking him too high. Of course, after Zion and Ja at 1 and 2. But if the Knicks take Brandon Clark number 3, I don't hate it. I think that's someone that the Pistons should consider trading up for. I don't think he goes number 3, by the way. But I'm interested to see if that's possible for the Pistons or other teams. I put Brandon Clark in the same kind of tier as Sekou Doumbouya there in how much I like him and how much I think that he would work out for the Pistons. I don't think it's very realistic that either of these guys fall at number 15, but I think that teams will fall for Brandon Clark and Sekou Doumbouya, and I think there's going to be some smart team out there that is going to trade up and take at least one of them, or maybe the Wizards or the Hawks, like them in that 8 to 10 range, and just take them at that spot. Brandon Clark, I moved him up from number 9 to number 8 on my big board. And when I make my big board, it's from a Pistons perspective. It's not from my perspective I do take position and Pistons needs into account on my big board. So I've got him at number 8, moved him ahead of DeAndre Hunter, who's probably believed to be a top 5 pick, while Brandon Clark is not. I got Sekou number 6, Cam Reddish number 7, and Brandon Clark at number 8. So that's it. I mean, I think whatever teams walk away from this draft with Sekou and Brandon Clark, assuming it's not a top 5 type of situation, assuming they're below like number 6, especially if some team wisely uses its assets to get up, trade up, and get one of those guys, those are the teams that I'm going to give high grades to in this draft in terms of the late lottery, other than New Orleans or Memphis, who obviously have the best nights out of anyone ahead with Zion and Ja joining those franchises. I think that those two teams, whoever get those two guys, are guys I will be drafting and grading very high. I'm doing grading first-round picks for the Detroit News, so you've been warned about that. You can look for that probably late Thursday night after the first round wraps up. But as we have come to expect about this front office so far, I definitely expect the Pistons to sit back and pick from the whatever's left over at 15 from the Nasir Little, Kevin Porter, Romeo Langford, poo-poo platter that's probably going to be available there. But up next, we are going to break down Sam Vecenie's big board of The Athletic. Pass that along. That's coming up here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and as you know by now, the Locked On NBA mock draft is underway. The local experts in every draft room, Jeremy Wu of SportsIllustrated.com with the player breakdowns, and Josh Lloyd of Locked On Fantasy Basketball with the fantasy breakdown, all at Locked On NBA. Now, Sam Vecenie of The Athletic put out his 8.0 big board, his final one going into the draft. He's got it broken down into tiers, which I like. Zion obviously being in the top tier, and then Ja Morant and RJ Barrett sharing a tier after that. Then he kind of breaks it off another tier as potential high-end starters, quote-unquote, with DeAndre Hunter, Jarrett Culver, and Darius Garland. And then he calls what the upside bets, 7 through 14. And obviously the Pistons picking at 15 right outside of that, but you would imagine that his top 14 players on his big board are most likely not going to be the 14 players drafted 1 through 14. So that would be pretty amazing. And so you got to believe that at least one of those guys with their upside bets fall to the Pistons. And I agree with that. I think that, you know, after you get past these top three, and maybe if you like Hunter, Culver, or Garland, which I don't like those guys in terms of throwing them into that Ja, Morant, or RJ Barrett tier. But I just think that after you get number two, even probably number three, if you like RJ Barrett, it's really kind of a mixed bag. So it's not, you know, we talk about the tanking process for the Pistons. Should they have done what New Orleans did or the Lakers did and get, lose a bunch of your games late in the season? Now, those teams obviously struck gold in the lottery. So there's an argument to be made that, yes, maybe you should have, because you could get a better shot of 6% of Zion or 4% of Darius Garland. But in terms of not hitting that lottery shot, let's say the Pistons did that, didn't hit one of those top four picks, and ended up at number 8 or 9. I don't really see that 8 or 9 in this draft is much better than 14 or 15. Now, that said, I'm going to maybe contradict myself a little bit and say that it's possible the Pistons should look up to trading up to something like that, because there's certain players that you might like rather than other players. But back to the tiers. After that, he's got a 15 through 28 tier. And then encouragingly for Pistons fans, the next tier goes all the way from 29 to 46. So within the Pistons range of 45, Sam has a belief that there is a quote-unquote potential rotational player there at 45 at the 15th pick of the second round. Nothing like last year, when you might find a potential lower-level starter in the middle of the second round, like a Bruce Brown or Kyrie Thomas, but a little bit encouraging in a bad draft that there's a belief that there's a potential rotational player out there in the second round for the Pistons. And just kind of to follow up on the rest of the big board as it relates to the Pistons at 15 and these wing players that we're looking at, Sam's big board has Cam Reddish at 9, Sekou Doumbouya at 10, Nasir Little at 11, Brandon Clark at 12, Jackson Hayes of Texas at 13, Kevin Porter at 14, and at 15, the Pistons are slotted, Tennessee's Grant Williams. This would probably be the pick that I would hate the most in terms of the realistic ones if I'm the Pistons, even more so than the reaches and gambles on Romeo Langford, Nasir Little, or Kevin Porter. I just don't see Williams where he becomes an impact NBA player. Sam goes on to have Nickeil Alexander-Walker at 16, Ryu Hachimura at 17, Tyler Hero at 18, and Romeo Langford at 19. Interestingly enough, as we go down the board, Bol Bol sitting at 37, so sliding there. I know some of you guys like him and the potential, but the Michigan guys kind of fell off the cliff a little bit, didn't move up boards throughout the process. Jordan Poole sitting at 54 for Michigan, right at the bottom of the second round. Iggy Brazdeikis, same thing, 56 for him. And then Charles Matthews, who sadly suffered the torn ACL, still at 61 for Sam's board. So the belief that he'll probably be scooped up either late in the second round or possibly as one of those early undrafted free agent types. So would have been interesting to see where Charles Matthews might be slotted, whether if he was still healthy throughout this process. But by the way, Nick Ward of Michigan State, not in Sam Vecenie's top 20 for The Athletic. Can't imagine that he gets picked up on Thursday night. But, hey, I'm excited. I hope you guys are. A few more nights till the draft. And we'll be having all your coverage here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. This is your host, Matt Shook. We'll do some more previews. We'll talk draft as it gets closer to Thursday night, June 20th. The Pistons picking number 15. Excited to see how this goes. A lot of content, a lot of good stuff to talk about here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. So thanks for joining us, everyone. Have a good rest of the day.